For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My feel-good story is Alex Smith, quarterback from the Redskins.
Yeah.
You know, he finished with Washington.
Coming back,
day,
yeah.
Everybody.
You got it, buddy. The shame of it is it did curtail what probably could have been a couple more years of him playing. That injury, while he got back from it, it's not like he stayed in the
league. He was never
long.
The same,
no.
Yeah.
Was that the same break that that Hutchinson had, or different?
No,
I
different.
Don't know.
I think
okay,
it's
yeah.
different. Okay. Yeah.
That one
different.
Was nasty.
That was like almost lost his leg
I
bad,
know.
Yeah.
You know, it was another bad one. Remember that Louisville player in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, Ware, his name
Kevin
was.
Kevin Ware.
Yeah.
That one was brutal.
That was maybe the worst to watch. Like
well,
in like up
listen,
there.
Listen, Theismann.
I don't remember Theismann,
Napoleon,
so I can't comment.
Napoleon McCallum,
Crumrine.
Oh, Crumrine! Holy
because
hell!
Because his foot was flopping all over the place, and it was the Super Bowl.
Okay,
it was
God.
The Super Bowl. I mean, actually, to be fair, DeMar Hamlin was the worst to ever watch.
Well,
by far.
Yes,
by far.
It's a different
yeah.
category. All right, with that, we go to Ross Tucker. Is that how we go to Ross? Like we just
yeah, all the nasty injuries
in.
We could think of.
Ross Tucker, good morning, buddy.
I have never snapped a leg. That's
cool.
The first question. Anyway,
have you
good
seen
morning,
it?
Everybody. How are you?
Good, have
buddy.
You seen it in a game, Ross? Like live in a game?
I haven't seen a broken leg like that. You know what I have?
I saw
seen?
A femur.
Mm. You know, I saw that was bad. You guys actually know him. You know Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football.
Yes. Yeah.
Our senior year. So we were college roommates and teammates, and our senior year against Penn actually. He dislocated his elbow, and his elbow went the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, that's super gross.
And he was done for the rest of the year, which really was a
bummer.
It's
a bad injury.
It was senior year. But, like, to see, you know, anytime you see the leg flopping, that's gross. But to see the elbow going the wrong way, like the arm
yeah.
going the wrong way, that is gross.
Yeah, I got
like Gordon Hayward, his ankle went, remember his
dude.
Foot the wrong Oh, man.
All right, I think we could stop with how gross these injuries are. People might be eating breakfast.
Right. Especially the word flopping. I'm not digging
that
the word.
That one's worse than break.
Flopping. All right. So Ross, let's talk some actual football here because and coming
seriously?
Up, yes.
I would have bet $1 million. There was a 0% chance we were going to talk
we're
any
talking
actual football.
We're talking football. By the way, coming up shortly, you're also going to hear from Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson, more from yesterday's Phillies press conference. But Ross, let's get to the Eagles here. So I had said on Friday that I really, really wanted this game, you know, Eagles-Browns, that is, to be a convincing Eagles win in which for the first time in a year, we don't walk away shaking our head after a bad loss or an ugly win. And sure enough, we got another ugly win. I mean, what is up with this football team? Are they just, and I think probably a lot of truth, they're just not that good. But, I mean, Cleveland, how do they not put more on Cleveland? And what does that say about them?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of concerns. Joe, a lot of concerns. I mean, the positive, well, there's a lot of positives. I mean, the biggest one's probably Cooper DeJean and just how he played and how he looked. And I would say the defense in general, although I'm telling you guys, the first half of that game, the Cleveland Browns offense, that was like a comedy show. I mean, they looked at least like an NFL offense in the second half, but in the first half, there were guys open. Deshaun Watson wasn't even close to completing. Like, in other words, I'm a little bit confused, Joe, as to the first half, whether that was good Eagles defense mm-hmm. or just horrific right. Browns offense. You know, I am confused by the Eagles offensively. They were so good a couple years ago in getting off to these fast starts. They're opening game script is bad. It's bad. And so what's funny about that, and John, I know you know this, some guys, Joe, when they script their first 10, first 12, first 15, whatever, it's totally scripting for success, meaning based on all of our prep this week, this is what we're going to do to go score a touchdown in the first drive. Other guys want to have a different personnel grouping and a different formation in their first 10 each play so they can see what the D coordinator is doing against those and then they kind of have their plan of attack for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's what the Eagles are doing because they are better later in the game, but it's like their first 6 to 9 plays every week. It's three and outs. It's barely anything. If they're scripting for success, let's be honest, they're doing a terrible, terrible job of it.
Yep.
They've had, of all of the opening drives this season, they've only extended one. They've only had a non-three and out one time.
Meaning one first down.
They got a first down. Yeah. But that drive was four plays. Like when you look at the opening drive, it's three plays every week except for one drive that was four plays.
But here's what I'm confused by. So first of all, I don't think, to my knowledge, maybe the play where he ran out of bounds because he felt like he had to run out of bounds. Was there another play where they got the ball to Saquon Barkley in space? I mean, I can't remember one. I mean, it was all inside zones, and the Browns were totally stacked up to stop that play. And then the thing that is so interesting, I know there's a lot of stuff on the internet about this. They're not doing a lot of the things that Kellen Moore has done other places. So the question is, does he think that's what's best for this team? Is this what Sirianni wants? Is this what Jalen wants or Jalen's most comfortable with? I guess I'm waiting to see, you know, the long touchdown to Devontae Smith where he's wide open and it's the crossing route.
Yep.
I want more like that.
Great play.
I want more easy throws, open guys. It felt like in the first quarter, they're just throwing fade balls and like, okay, let's see if A.J. Brown can make a play against this guy. Let's see if Devontae can make a play. It's like, it should be easier than this.
Yeah,
I agree.
But it can be, Ross. Like, the point of that, like, the touchdown for Devontae, that the drive route, you know, against man coverage, when you know you've got man coverage, you know that certain routes are going to help pry things open because the defenders are going to have a hard time running with that route when there are other routes crossing over and they're going to be, you know, picking one another off of their assignment. Like, that works great. Why can't we do more of that? Why did that happen in, what was it, the fourth quarter? The Devontae thing?
Yeah.
Why did that take until the fourth quarter?
Other than that play and maybe a couple Calcaterra plays, you know, we all watch a lot of games, right? It just seems like things are harder for the Eagles than they are for the other good teams. Maybe that's because they're not as good as we were hoping they would be. But if you think, and I know there was a kick block kick return for a touchdown, but for them to only score 20 points without Hurts turning it over or having even any turnover worthy plays is concerning.
So Ross, here's a tweet from yesterday. Kurt Warner, obviously, you know, one of the better quarterbacks this century.
Yeah.
And he had, a really interesting tweet, and it's in line with, you know, the way I've been thinking for what it's worth. But here's what Kurt Warner said in a tweet. He said, it's fascinating to me that through three different coordinators, and it's really kind of four coordinators if you really go back, you know, if you count Sirianni as one. It's fascinating to me that through three different coordinators, the pass concepts run by the Eagles remain primarily the same. I would not expect that, especially this year with Kellen Moore, but maybe it's more about the quarterback than coordinator in that respect.
Well, that's the question. I mean, they're not going to answer the question but that's the question is, you know, it's funny because a couple weeks ago I did the Browns Raiders game, right? And so, you know, I'm in these production meetings, you know, this is a good example. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, and we saw this on Sunday. He totally changed his offense. He used to be an outside zone, bootleg play action guy. He has now gone to all these RPOs and stuff because he's trying desperately, Joe, to do what Deshaun Watson is comfortable with or does best. But now what you have is you have a guy calling the plays who's calling plays that aren't even what he really knows or is good at. But he's calling plays to try to fit in this quarterback who's not playing.
Ross, so that's what Sirianni and Shane Steichen did when they first got here. They hadn't run with Phillip Rivers and other Colts quarterbacks the Jalen Hurts type offense. To their credit, they adapted to Jalen. The problem is now in year five for Jalen, it feels to me like he's not evolving in a way that coordinators and head coaches feel comfortable tapping into more of the bucket. But
And they do this. They do say to the quarterback, what do you like?
Yeah.
What do you feel comfortable
day.
With?
All
and by the
time.
And by the way, that's important because you want the quarterback to feel comfortable.
Sure.
And it seems pretty clear to me that Jalen is comfortable with RPOs and throwing a bunch of fades against man coverage to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
All right, so 215.
Outside against man coverage, he'll put it up there.
All right, 215. Thank God for A.J. I mean, he bailed him out the other day. He's a magnificent football player. Just extraordinary. All right, 215-592-9494. Shortly, we're going to get to Dave Dombrowski and a bulk of what he said yesterday. Right now, let's play Rob Thompson audio. Because, you know, James, I think the big thing we were looking for from Rob Thompson yesterday was game four.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Wheeler, Sanchez. I mean, okay, maybe you're not going to use both, but you got to have at least one. Wheeler, Sanchez, what are you thinking? Good question. I did not like his answer, but it's his answer. Here's Rob Thompson yesterday on the Wheeler, Sanchez game four thing.
I recognize, Rob, that we're almost a week removed from game four, but to go back to game four, what was the reason that Zach didn't have a role other than emergency pitcher in extra innings? Why wasn't he used in the sixth to maybe give you a couple of innings? And I guess by extension, Christopher Sanchez as well.
Well, Zach's working on 3 days rest. And Sanchez's working on 2 days rest. So I'm not gonna put their future in doubt with this franchise. I just won't. I was a little more... It was Sanchez's bullpen day. Zach had thrown a bullpen the day before, getting ready for game five. So I was a little bit... Sanchez was a little bit more available to me than Zach was. Now, we get into that game, and we get into leverage situations late in games. Coming out of the bullpen, Sanchez hasn't done that all year. So that's why I stuck with our main relievers, who had been very well, very good all year. It just... for whatever reason, it just didn't happen in the postseason. So that's where I'm at.
I don't like it. Don't like it. And here's the thing, guys. Like, no one was saying Sanchez had to pitch five innings, okay? But you're in a spot where you know the bullpen's been faltering for 3.5 games. You know you keep having to go to the main bullpen guys because, you know, there's only so many you trust. And you had to go to the bullpen extremely early in game four because of a very short start by Ranger. I'm really disappointed that the Sanchez thing was only if we need him at the very end of the game, not let's stick him in the middle of the game.
The most important part of what turned out to clearly be the most important part of the game.
And look, guys, I'm not telling you I pitched in Major League Baseball because I didn't, and I'm a doctor and knows the intricacies of the arm and how damaged.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The guy's future could be if he gets in there. But I find it hard to believe.
His future's not going to be damaged.
To believe.
So many pitchers have done this. So many starters have done this over the years. And then on top of that, then don't tell us he's available. Don't say before the game that he could give you an inning or two if you're not going to use him in that spot.
He said everyone is available.
And then the Zach Wheeler thing. Like, don't say available in emergency. Guess what? An emergency happened. Like, what other emergency is there other than your season's on the line?
James, I'm with you 1,000,000%. And it's just not enough urgency. It's like when you don't have JT or Bryce bat in August because, like, what, you don't want them to limber up in case they get a double and have to run a second base as a pinch hitter. Look, people have been doing it in baseball for 150 years.
Joe, this is my issue with when they just very casually were like, you know, and I know you guys are fine with Rob coming back. They're like, oh, yeah, all the coaches are coming back. And I'm going, oh, okay, everybody's coming up. So Rob with his bullpen mismanagement, 2 straight years in the playoffs, he's back. Kevin Long, these guys can't do anything whatsoever, so I guess they don't listen to him. Younger players, Marsh, Stott, Alec Bohm, they completely regressed. The only person who, for me, skates is the pitching coach.
Yeah, no, I think that guy did a good job.
Approach was a disaster in the postseason when it mattered the most. When our bats went cold repeatedly, it was, well, what's going on with their approach? Why are they why are they swinging? What in the world? Like, that is Kevin Long's area of expertise, right?
It is. But
so who gets blamed? Did someone get blamed?
Well, what I take away from them bringing Topper and all the coaches back is that it's on the players. That they tried their best to Kevin Long tried his best, because like I think of all the coaches, I agree, he's probably the one who I would have guessed would have been gone.
Yeah,
but
it's as simple as that.
The players didn't step up when they needed to.
The players deserve a lot of blame. The players deserve a lot of that. I feel like other people deserve more, I guess.
Yeah,
more.
I agree with you on that.
Too.
All right, so all of this on the table. Ross with us as well till about 8:40 today. Let's go to the phones. By the way, coming up shortly, something from Conklin and more, a lot more of Dave Dombrowski, of what he said yesterday. Let's talk to Kenny right now. Kenny, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So first off, I want to thank you for everything you did for the Darren Dalton Foundation on Monday. You're a rock star for doing that for us.
It's my immense pleasure. It's a great foundation. Dutch was our dude, and it was great seeing a lot of people.
And a great
cause. And let me just say, DarrenDaltonFoundation.org. If anyone ever wants to make a donation to help in the fight against cancer and to help patients that are struggling with it, the website is DarrenDaltonFoundation.org. It's a wonderful charity.
And thank you for saying that, Joe. Sure. And Devin, I was really disappointed yesterday in the press conferences. You never said, this is the news.
I'll keep that in mind for next time.
This is the news.
Kenny, you know what we did find out, though, from Devin yesterday? And at first I thought, uh-oh, big mistake. And then it was affirmed by Dave Dombrowski. So Andrew Painter's name is Andy?
I heard Devin ask the question, too. I'm like, so we all just call him Andy now?
So
is that
Andy?
Like an accepted thing?
Because, Devin, you call him Andy.
She just threw Andy out there.
It was surprising, wasn't it?
And then Dave Dombrowski calls him Andy. And so I guess he's...
Is Andy Painter going to be around? It's like, who?
I thought that's what everyone called him.
I never
Andy?
Heard that.
Until you asked that question, I had not heard him
that's
called
so
Andy.
That's so funny.
Andy Painter.
Now I have, you know, new thing to be self-conscious about unlocked because I didn't even think about it when I said it.
Well, maybe that is. I mean, look, a lot of Andrews go by Andy, and maybe when he was drafted.
But a lot don't.
Well, I think I
no,
did.
No, I know a lot
on
don't.
On social media, his handles are Andy. So I assume that that's what people go by. So that's why
sure.
I called him that.
Look, that's
next level knowledge by you, Devin, with the social media exposure and understanding.
Sure.
That's what he prefers.
All right, Kenny, I'm sorry.
That's his handle.
We hijacked this call. Go ahead, boy.
That's all right. I know I'm in the minority with this, but I just got to tell you how I feel. All this Sirianni nonsense, I think is just nonsense. I'm so upset that we have a team that can't score more than 20 points, that we have a Ferrari being driven by an idiot, and all we're talking about is his press conference and him going on the sidelines. This team right now, we have the talent, we have the players to be so much better, yet this is the second year in a row now where I'm seeing subpar play calling. We brought in new coaches that thought that would fix it, and I'm starting to think that this is all Sirianni's philosophy. He's telling Kellen Moore, do this, do that, stay in the shotgun. He's telling Vic Fangio, bend but don't break. And Vic is hamstrung because he can't do what he wants to do. Because I am not seeing any improvement. And we have the players to
Well, the regression, clearly.
It's just driving me crazy. I'm sitting in the
And by the way, they're boring, Kenny. And I hate to say that because we love the Eagles. But, man, these 3 hours when you watch
the
a game.
The NFL thinks they're boring.
Yeah, it's a tough. Yeah, the NFL moved the game in 2 weeks to a 1 o'clock game instead of a 4:25 game because the Eagles and Bengals aren't good enough. Kenny, we got to move to a lot. Give me a great answer. What's a feel-good story? You can win tickets to the Flyers home opener Saturday night.
Young girl singing a national anthem, forgets the words. Mo Cheeks.
Great answer, Kenny.
What an answer. Mo Cheeks at the time, the Trailblazers coach. Totally. All right, speaking of hoops, let me give you a Paul George update from yesterday in case you missed it. Sixers announced he'll be reevaluated in 1 week. The good news is, as Nick Nurse said, I mean, I'll just cut to the chase here. Nick Nurse said, quote, everything checks out okay, meaning structurally. Paul George also was quoted as saying, I felt that it hyperextended and immediately it was all right. I needed to get taken out and looked at, but if you ask me, I'm not too concerned about it. So all things considered, that's good news.
The key is here, and then they called it a bone bruise, which is what's expected because of the bone clashes together.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a lot. The femur and the tibia bang together. Yeah. Now all he has to do is get the swelling out, and it'll feel fine.
Yeah. Now the bummer is, you know, when you reevaluate it in a week, as of yesterday, and the season starts
in
8 days,
still probably will not be out.
You're probably not playing the first game.
Correct. I mean,
the first game is in exactly 1 week, so you know we'll see.
We don't know if Joel is playing.
No, we don't. All right.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.